the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name is Dan Latto, and in this episode, what I wanted to talk to you today about was, how do you go from being just a one-man band or a one-woman band, just being a solopreneur, just somebody who works on their own, to actually growing a business and then scaling it up so it actually takes you out of that business. Now, obviously, a conversation like this can take quite a bit of time, and I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I just want to give you some general guidance on pretty much how you can do that, and actually on how I did that with my lettings agency. So going back quite a number of years now, I owned a lettings agency which did very, very well, and I sold that business about 4 or 5 years ago. But when we first started that business up, it was just little old me. And so when you first start out, I mean, obviously, it's just you. You do everything from the cleaning to the coffee to the marketing to the sales to then the deliverability of the actual product. And so the best way for us to actually deal with this is, when you're growing a business, there's really two aspects to the sides of business that you want to grow. There's three things that you want to concentrate on. Okay, so the two aspects in which you grow your business. The first bit is your sales and marketing. That's usually the first bit, and it's definitely the first bit that we focused on when I had the lettings agency. The second area are the systems that back up the sales and marketing. Now, what happens generally is that everybody focuses on sales and marketing, and we try and get that up and running first, and we do that quite successfully. And then what happens is that because we haven't actually put the systems in place, the business then starts to break down. So the deliverability of the product or the service that we're providing our customers tends not to be the best, because all we've done is focused on marketing and generating new leads and closing those leads, and then we can't actually perform to the level that we want to perform at because the lead generation is working so well. And so it has to go hand in hand. Now, there's a couple of things that you can do. So the first thing that you can do is that you can set up your marketing to be more automated. You see, the way in which most people do marketing is that they place an advert and they think, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll drop some leaflets this week, and maybe next month I'll do that. And then, so there's no real plan. They're just sort of thinking on the feet as to what they want to do. And then it's not automated, because they have to physically go create the leaflets. They then have to recruit people to drop the leaflets, or they have to go design the advert, or they have to do it all themselves. And so when we talk about an automated marketing campaign, we're actually back to talking about marketing assets. If you remember, an asset is something that puts money in your pocket. So like this podcast, for example, we could stop doing podcasts like after this one if we wanted. We still get people finding the podcasts. It's because this is podcast number 50, by the way. Well done to everybody who's listening, has gotten to this stage. We're 12 months in and we're up to podcast 50. But those podcasts are now going to be there forevermore, right? As long as we pay the subscription fees. So very automated marketing that just simply go into our sales funnel. I mean, we had a couple of leads come in yesterday from people who are asking for coaching products. So that's, and I've not done anything yesterday. Yesterday was Monday and I was traveling all day, and yet the lead generation is still going, despite the fact that I'm not physically having to do anything on lead generation, because it's already being done over podcast recorded. We have Facebook pixels that go out and retarget people. We've got all sorts of things going on. It's all targeted. We set it up once and it's done. It's what I like to call a fire and forget. And I love the fire and forget type scenarios in which, you know, like when you buy an asset and it just simply generates cash flow, like shares, for example, at 5% getting returns of, you know, that's awesome. You know, you just, what, I just buy 100 grand and I get 100 grand's worth and I get 5% a year, every year for life, and I don't do anything? Yeah. Oh, okay, I'll have some of them. That's awesome. How many of them do you need? All right, it might be 400 grand to get you a 20 grand a year income. It's not a huge amount, really. But when it balances out the rest of your portfolio, then that's nice and easy. You've got no work to do on that. So I like this fire and forget type situation, which is what you should be doing with your marketing. And really, it's not just your marketing. So the two aspects here, the first part is your sales and marketing, right? So you've got to start automating those. And then the second part, as well as automating the sales and marketing, is that your systems, the things that happen in the business, they have to be written down and recorded and put into a flowchart style effigy, so that you can refer back to them. So that then when you recruit your first member of staff, it's like, here's the handbook, read that, and that's how the business works. Because everything is detailed. Everything from picking up the phone and how to answering the phone to processing an order. And you can record that either. I mean, we used flowcharts back in the day. We used PowerPoint We used flow charts. So when we had a new tenant come on board or a new landlord come on board, he'd pick the flow chart for dealing with a new tenant, which would talk about referencing and making sure we get guarantors, making sure the deposit was in, making sure the deposit was then lodged with a deposit protection scheme. All of those things were recorded. And we used flow charts for that. But these days, of course, you can use video. So you've got to start getting stuff written down. Now, if you want help on this, then there's a really good book. It's called The E-Myth. It's by Michael Gerber. It's required reading. Everybody needs to read The E-Myth. If you've not read that yet, it's like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Everybody should have read that by now. If you've not read that, go read that. All of these are required readings. So The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. Go and get yourself that book. And that book will help you systemize your business. In a couple of podcasts ago, we were talking about franchising your business. Well, you franchise your business by systemizing everything from how you pick up the phone to how you process an order to how you lodge a tenancy deposit and so on. So they're the two bits that you need to focus on in terms of growing your business. So then the next three areas that I want to talk to you about are the three areas in your business in which if you focus on solidly, then you're going to start getting better returns. So the first part is where you've got to start attracting clients. Now, obviously, we're back to sales and marketing, aren't we? The second part is the conversion mechanism. How are you going to get the client to convert? Now, that could be just a sales video on a web page. Now, if it is a sales video on a web page, then that's an automated process. So all you have to do is send them through your sales funnel, send them to the sales page, and that sales page should convert. Now, it could be that that's not your mechanism. It could be, like, my mechanism isn't a sales page, although it is for some products. But for my main coaching products, my conversion mechanism is what we call a strategy session, where we get people to fill in the form so I can find out a little bit more about them. And then we get them on the phone so that I can calculate whether, one, I want to work with this person, and two, the person can work out whether they want to work with me. That's my conversion mechanism. So with the attraction for me is, like, I don't know, the podcast, the Facebook marketing that we do, webinars, all the videos that we do on the YouTube channel, interviews and all of that sort of thing. So that's the attraction part. And then the conversion part is getting people onto the strategy sessions. Once they're on a strategy session, then we can diagnose if we can help them and how to help them. And we can work out. And if so, then we'll offer them coaching. We don't offer it to everybody. And then the final part there is once they've agreed to take on coaching, let's say, and they want to go ahead with that, then we have to then deliver the product. And so there are certain ways in which we would deliver the product, some of which is automated. Not all of it is me on the phone for 1 hour, because there's only then so many clients I can take on. So there's various ways, there's two ways specifically that we do it. The first way is that we hold a webinar once every 2 weeks, where we get all our clients onto that webinar, and I talk to everybody all in one go. So from my point of view, from a deliverability point of view, that's simply 2 hours once every 2 weeks. That's really awesome, right? That's fairly automated because it only takes up 2 hours. We could have a billion people on that call or one, whatever, it takes 2 hours. The second way in which we deliver the product is we create modules. So if we're talking about, I don't know, let's say how to create a graphic. We've got a 27-minute video, a module, that you can log into the members area and you simply watch that video. So instead of me taking 27 minutes up in a one-on-one coaching session explaining you and showing you how to do it, you can simply watch the video. So that works really well for me because now it's automated. So now we're able to teach and educate people how to do stuff and we're not even in the same room. We're not even on the phone with them. It's not taking up any of our time. Now, if most of your delivery mechanism is one-on-one, you're going to reach a certain threshold where you can't take on any more people, right? Regardless of what it is. But if you can automate some of those processes, why do you think most people are moving their businesses online? You know, Dell, for example, is a company I used to work for. They really took the internet by storm because literally you bought online. You configured your PC online and you purchased it online. And if you wanted a phone number, then you could do a phone number. But I think it was even cheaper if you bought online. So they were driving everybody online because they were automated processes. You didn't need as many staff. And obviously, you know, the two biggest costs in any business, property and people. They're the two biggest costs. Property, because you need your staff to live in, to work from rather. And people, because you've got to pay them, right? They're your two biggest costs. Now, if you can remove the number of people in your business, and if you can remove the amount of property in your business, and begin to automate a lot of this stuff. I mean, in my business, although there's only me that physically works in the business here at the Villa, we've got people who are overseas, for example, that actually do some of our work for us. Some of the editing and processing videos and that sort of thing, that's what they do. Sometimes I actually really enjoy that. But there's only so much of that I can do if I'm having to physically do that on my own. Okay, so what we've got then is we've got the three mechanisms that you need to use or that you need to focus on. We've got the attraction, we've got the conversion of a client, and we've got the deliverability of the product, right? And then we've got the two other aspects, which are sales and marketing. This is like what I call the front end of the business. These are the sales and marketing. Now, some of that can be automated, and you should be automating some of that, right? The second part, which is what I call the back end of a business, are the systems. Now, which bit do you work on first? Well, I'll tell you. There's no point in working on sales and marketing first. I know that sounds crazy, okay? However, if you're not currently generating enough money to break even, right? You've got to work on sales and marketing to generate enough clients. Now, this is where the problem is. I know people who have got a business where they could go out and generate a huge amount of sales, but they still won't be profitable because they're not selling their product at a high enough price. And then people say, yeah, but the market won't take a higher price, in which case your business isn't going to work. You know, if you can't scale it, it's not going to work. All you've bought yourself is a job that doesn't pay very well. In fact, gets you to work for long hours for no money. You wouldn't work at McDonald's doing that. So why would you work for yourself doing that? So like, I'd rather you quit that job, that self-employed business, and go get get yourself a proper job. Go get a job that pays you and start something on part-time on another business that is going to generate. So the money has to be there. The margin in the product has to be there. Now, the better your marketing is, obviously, the more you can charge. So if your marketing is rubbish anyway, then you're not going to be able to charge a premium. If you're not generating enough leads, then you're not going to be able to charge a premium. But if you turn yourself into a premium provider of the product, then you can charge a premium. And when you start to charge a premium, you can actually then start to make more profit. And when you make more profit, you can start to pay yourself better, and you can then start to invest in your property, in your business. So this is a problem. And actually, talking of property, this is exactly the problem I had. So at the time, my rents were always really low. I never really pushed my rents up really high. And it's only in the last year or two, really, that I've really pushed my rents up, especially with all the stuff coming through, all the changes and so on. And so probably the last 3 or 4 years, I'd say, actually, we started pushing rents up. And suddenly, the portfolio became highly profitable, because now we're getting paid our worth, and then we can invest that money back into the portfolio. Whereas before, we couldn't invest the money back into the portfolio because we didn't have enough money. And so because we didn't have enough money to invest back in the portfolio didn't look as good as it could, so we didn't get the high rents. And so it's like this ever-decreasing circle. So look, if you're worried about this, spend some time bringing a property up to scratch and then up the price of that property by, I don't know, 50 quid a month. That £50 a month is £600 a year. You take that 600 quid, you spend that £600 on decorating the next property. You know, literally just painting it on the outside or the inside, whatever you need to do. And then you increase that by 50 quid. Now you're £1,200 up by year three, right? The first property and the second property. And you keep doing that. And eventually, by, you know, year 5, 6, and 7, then you're in a really profitable business. And this is exactly how you put your prices up. Put your prices up another 10%. You know, if you think that's not a lot, if you can put your prices up 10%, and if you can sell, increase your customer base by 10%, and if you can get repeat orders, increase that by just 10%. The huge is phenomenal, because it's 10% times 10% times 10%. So the returns are going to be much, much higher. So this is what you do. Okay, once you've started to generate enough money that you're not having to work 60 hours a week just to break even, right? Then you can start to spend. So we get you back down to 40 hours. That'd be a good start breaking even, right? Then the extra 20 hours that you've now got, first of all, take a break. Go for a massage, go for a run, get your body back in shape, get your relationships back in shape. Go do what you need to do there. The second bit, that's maybe 10 hours, right? You've still got another 10 hours worth. So then what you can do is you can then put that time into building systems. So literally, what is the first bit in your business that you can take out of your business and give it to someone else? Maybe someone overseas. So maybe it's some sort of video creation. Maybe it's some sort of... So I tell you what we used to do. The best example I can give of this is we used to generate 1,500 phone calls every single month for my lettings agency. That's a huge amount of phone calls, right? So you've got a choice. Do you recruit somebody to sit in the office and work full time answering that phone? Now, there's some downsides if you do this. The first downside is that if that person is on the phone and another phone rings, then you've lost that second phone call, so you can't answer it. So that's the first problem. The second problem is that this person then goes off ill or on holiday. So think about this. For every 12 people that you employ, you've got a 13th person that does nothing all year. other than cover the first 12th person and the second 12th and the third 12th as they take their 4 weeks of holiday. So think about that. Every 12 people you employ, you've got a 13th person just to cover holidays. Forget about sickness or anything else that they have to take time off for. You've got a 13th person that you're just paying just to hang out, just to cover holidays. Now, if you've not realised that yet, then, you know, that's where your money's going. Or you could do it this way. And this is what we did. We recruited a telephone answering service that cost 50 pence a phone call. And they, what they did was they could answer the phone, 1,500 calls a month. Every single call got answered. Every single call, which meant every person that called got an expectation set. Yeah, it's 7 p.m. The office is closed, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to get Bob to give you a call tomorrow. What time would suit? 10 o'clock? Perfect. Are you at work then? 5 p.m? No, I'll get Bob to phone you at 5 p.m. Perfect. We never missed a phone call. And the person who answered the phone could then set expectations as to when they get a phone call back. Oh, you want to call back at 7? No, he's not working then, but he can do Friday at 8:30. Would that work? Perfect. And they'd book it into his calendar. That's phenomenal. That cost us £750 a month, which is a lot less than recruiting a person number 13. And by the way, when you recruit person number 13, you're actually paying for them a four-week holiday as well. So bear in mind that they also need holiday coverage too. So this is what we did. We outsourced all of our phone calls. All of them. Now, we did this with one of our clients is a financial advisor, and it took a little bit of persuading, I'll tell you, to get them to outsource their phone call. Because this financial advisor is very good at their job. They were, you know, working so many hours, and then the phone call would come through on their mobile phone. So they have to drop everything just to answer the phone, which would get them out of the rhythm of whatever it was that they're doing. And sometimes they forget what they're doing. Like, I've done that. I've been there where your phone rings or you just, just check my email because you're in the middle of something or you're just waiting for a YouTube video to it. So you check your email and then you forget what on earth you were doing in the first place. It's really not conducive to you being highly productive. So if you can get your inbound phone calls out, so then what we would do is we'd have like a power hour between 5 and 6 where we would return all those phone calls. Or maybe 6 and 7. Or sometimes I'd go home, see the kids, go home between 7 and 8. I would phone all those people back and then book viewings in. Other letting agents wouldn't do. That's why we grew so fast. We were able to do that because one of the first systems that we identified that we could outsource was our phone answering service system, whatever process that you want to call that. Why are you answering the bloody phones? You're totally reactive and it's totally interrupting your own business. So if you're a small business person and you're a plumber or a florist, what are you answering your own phone for? Outsource it. What happened was someone would phone our office, okay? They would then take down all the details of the person calling. And then what they'd do is they would send us an email. So I would then get that email on my phone and I could take their details and copy it and paste it into my calendar. So I knew that between, 4 and 5 on a Friday, I've got 15 phone calls to make, all of who want to book viewings, possibly. Or it would help us qualify people in or out. So we would be getting sales calls. And the sales call would go something like this. It's Bob from, from the photocopier company. I'm returning Dan's call. And I would be like, the lying bastard. He never phoned me before. I never asked him to phone. What's he mean? He's returning my call. It's what salespeople do. They would lie to get through the barrier staff, as we call them. And if you're a cold caller, please don't use this technique saying, Dan's called me. I'm returning his call. Because what I would do is I would phone you up and I would say, yeah, I'm calling you back because you've asked me to phone you, but you've left this message saying that I'm returning your call. We never spoke. Why am I returning your call? I never said I would return your call. Are you lying to me? And I would hate it because they would lie to me straight off the bat. Why would I buy anything from them when they lied to me just to get a return phone call? I hated it. But in terms of barrier staff, that was awesome. So we could qualify all these salespeople out. I don't want to speak to salespeople trying to sell me stuff. Why would I want to do that? So we got rid of them. Because they would have to go through our barrier staff for people picking up and answering the phones. So then I could choose who I wanted to speak to. And at the time, the people who I wanted to speak to were the people wanting to book viewings to rent properties from us, which was awesome. And by the way, the next bit that we did with the telephone answering service was we got them to qualify. So Samantha would phone up saying, yeah, I've seen a property and I want to book it, a viewing for it. Instead of just going, great, what's your name, what's your number, and I'll get them to phone you back, we would say, what did we used to ask them? We would say, what property is it? When are you looking to move? Oh, I'm not looking to move for 6 months. Oh, okay, you need to give us a call back in 6 months then, because it's too far away. The property won't be available, you know, in 6 months, because there'd be a tenant in it. Oh, okay. So get rid of that person. That's one person less I have to phone back. That's really valuable for my time. Or we might say, when are you looking to move? In 2 weeks' time. Great. Have you given notice to your current landlord? No. So you need to do that. So that's 4 weeks' notice then. You need to come back and give us a call back in two weeks' time once you've done it. Oh, okay, fine. Gets rid of another phone call. What's your budget? 600. Yeah, this property's on at 795. Right. Well, I thought we'd get it down to 600. No, we wouldn't be able to go down that far. So we could disqualify all these people. So the people that I would phone back, let's say it's 7 out of the 15. That's awesome from my point of view. I'm now going to get 7 phone calls. I'm going to phone them all up. I might get 5 viewings out of that. Do you think we're going to rent out those 5 viewings? Now, if those 5 viewings are all on that same property, boy, I tell you, we've already rented it. We know, you know, because we're already pre-qualified. All of that is because we organise someone to answer our phone calls, and then we taught them how to qualify on the phone, to qualify in or qualify out. That is how you systemise your business. And if you're a one-person band, the first thing that you should be doing is outsourcing your phone calls, your phone answering service. So if you're a plumber, instead of having to stop fixing a boiler, outsource it. Not for fixing, although you would do that later, by the way, because you'd be training people on how to do it, or you'd be taking recruitment of staff. So literally, this is how you move from being a solopreneur. You identify the systems that you want to get rid of. If you're not very good at your marketing, then why are you doing it? Identify the system and get someone else to do it. Either get someone overseas in another country who's very, very cheap, or look, I mean, I've got a handyman who's based in the UK, in Leeds, and so I literally manage my property portfolio here in Spain. I'm in the UK very little now. I fly in on a Monday and I leave on a Friday. I literally land, go pick up the kids from school. We have a great weekend. I drop the kids at school. I then literally jump in a car and drive down and go get the next plane. Although I missed it yesterday and I had to catch one 2 hours later. But still got home for the feed at 11 o'clock for the little one. So I was quite impressed with my little old self, despite missing a plane due to the shocking motorways that we have in the UK. 90 minutes delay on the motorway there that closed the M1. But anyway, so that whole process is systemised, because I've got a guy in the UK, like he's doing a viewing for me in 45 minutes time, as it happens. I'm here recording a podcast in Spain. My handyman's doing a viewing for one of my HMOs, which is awesome. So we found him on Gumtree. We just went and placed an advert on Gumtree and we pay £10 an hour. And he does loads of stuff for me. We've got almost a full-time income budgeted just for his time each and every month across the portfolio of properties. And generally, that's all we need to pay, because he covers everything. He's actually my first point of fix. When a tenant phones up and says we've got a problem, they come through and we'll get them to speak to the handyman. He will go out and identify what the problem actually is. And then if he needs to get somebody else, like a proper qualified plumber, in to fix that boiler, then that's what he can do. But he can go out and diagnose that. I don't have to do anything. And so it takes me out of the system completely. And then what happens is, because I'm out of that system completely, I can go focus on the other stuff that's going to generate more leads. It's going to help me generate better strategy sessions and close people better and deliver better product. So it's just the way that it works. So we focus on the attraction, we can focus on the conversion, we can focus on the deliverability of the product. But in order to do that, you've got to start finding a way of getting yourself out of that business. And we do that, first of all, by getting enough business in so that we're not having to worry about paying the bills, right? And if you're not getting enough business coming in, or if you're not making enough money off that business, you've got to put your prices up. If you haven't got the business coming in, by the way, you've got to look at your marketing and your lead generation. And if you don't know how to do that, come speak to us. Well, that's what we do. We help businesses get more leads. And then once you've done that, the next step then is to start implementing systems. And we talked about the one system that you can implement almost immediately is to get your phone answered. Like, straight away after this podcast, find someone, who can answer your phones. It costs between 50 pence and a pound. We went 24 hours a day, which is awesome on your advertising material. And we said we answer our phones 24 hours a day. We started getting phone calls at 3 or 4 in the morning because people are looking from all around the world. We get a lot of people from Qatar, and around sort of Saudi and Middle East for our lettings because we used to get a lot of, what's it called? That part of the world, the mayor. The Middle East, Europe, Middle East, and Asia, is it? But the Middle East specifically, we used to get a load of people coming in to study at Leeds University. Leeds University is very popular there in the Middle East. And so they would come in and we would get tenants there all the time. We worked really well with them. So that's the first bit that you can do straight away after finishing this podcast. Finish the podcast, jump online, find people to, answer your phones. The second bit that you need to start looking at is your marketing. What can you then start to outsource? Like the last bit that you should be outsourcing really is the deliverability of the product. So your sales mechanism, you can outsource that to some extent. Your lead generation, you can definitely outsource. The answering of the phones. For deliverability, now it depends on your business, obviously. Some people want to do it the other way around, want to get out of the business. So if you're a painter and decorator, for example, the chances are that you will be able to find other people that can paint and decorate. And then your job really is best going out and doing the conversion mechanism. It just depends on where you are and what your business actually is. For some people, one of our clients was a weddings stationery business. And so, hi, if you're listening, by the way. So they actually are really good at creating the product. So they need to create the product themselves. But really, they should be outsourcing the lead generation to somebody else. But if there's not enough money on making that product, and you need to put your prices up or choose a different product. It's really simple. And so that's pretty much it from start to finish. How do you grow your business from being a solopreneur? So we've got attract, convert and deliver. We've got your sales and marketing to make the business profitable. And then we've got you building on your systems. And the first system that you can do is the outsourcing of the phone calls. Look, there's some really good hands-on content in there that you can do instantly. And if you, like, do it, like now, don't think about it. Go do it. Implement it, and in a week or two's time, drop me a line, let me know how that's changed your business, because I'd love to get some feedback and hear how well that's done. All right, my name's Dan Latto. I hope that's really useful for you, and we'll speak to you soon. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.